Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 33, The Alien Wars. I am one of your co-hosts, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my mega-evolved form, Chris Slate.
Hello.
And we are here again to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo. Our big topic this week is going to be what Nintendo should do with its licensed properties that it's been talking about. You know, what we might want to see Nintendo do if some of its big games go into TV or movies or something along those lines. But before we do that, we're going to kick things off with the news. And specifically, I would like to start news off with some information about one of my most looked forward to upcoming games, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD for Wii U. And among the information that's come out recently is what's going to be happening with the Wolf Link amiibo. We have found out that this activates a new trials dungeon of sorts, specifically for Link when he's in his wolf form. It's similar to the Cave of Ordeals that was in the original Twilight Princess, but like I said, this one, you know, it's all about using those wolf skills, and if you get to the bottom, you will obtain a new wallet that pretty much gives you like 9,999 maximum rupees. So that's pretty nuts.
Oh, that'd come in handy when you wear that armor that costs money for every second you have it on.
Yes, it will. Of course, that's if you've already gotten the other wallet upgrades. We've also found out about what the other amiibo do. If you have a Link or Toon Link, that will let you replenish your arrows totally for free. You get to use that once per day. And if you use Zelda or Sheik, it will let you completely restore hearts once per day. Then you can use Ganondorf as well, which causes double damage. Now, I'm a little unclear if it causes double damage to you or double damage to the enemies, but if it does cause double damage to you, hopefully there is some sort of benefit to that other than just being super challenging. Or maybe that's it. Who knows?
There is going to be a hero mode, right? That doubles the damage that you take?
That has been a Zelda tradition recently. I am not completely sure if that is in this or not. Perhaps you've heard something about that I am not aware of.
You know, I did read about that online in the last couple of days, but now I'm drawing a blank on where I saw it. So maybe take that with a little bit of salt, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if that's in there.
Salt. Mm. We've also learned about the soundtrack CD. We knew earlier that this was going to be something you would get when you pre-order the game at select retailers, but now it looks like it's going to be exclusive to GameStop. Nintendo took to Twitter and was saying that's where you would go to pre-order it and get the soundtrack. So if you pre-order it from Amazon or Best Buy, it looks like you're kind of going to be out of luck if you want the sound selection CD, which is kind of unfortunate in my opinion.
Any word on if this will be very different from the sound selection CD, or I don't know if that's what it was called, the Twilight Princess soundtrack that came out for the original game?
I'm not sure entirely. Something gave me the impression this was going to have more tracks than that one. That one only had, I think 6 or maybe 7 tracks. I think this is going to be a little more extensive, but I forget where I heard that information.
Yeah, more tracks the better.
But speaking of Twilight Princess information, you were telling me that there's going to be more info about this game coming through Twitter, right?
Yeah, that just started today as we're recording this, actually. Mr. Onuma, the man in charge of all things Zelda at Nintendo, tweeted out and let people know that through the Nintendo Twitter account, they're going to be giving periodic updates on the game. So it sounds like this is how they're going to be announcing some of the new features. They're also going to play around with it a little bit. They had, what's that little boy shop owner from the game?
Is it Mallow?
Mallow. They had him kind of take over, as it were, from Mr. Onuma, and continue the tweet with some of with some of his kind of a charm. So I imagine they're going to have a lot of fun with it, and like I said, also use it as a way to introduce new features and things like that. So it's something Zelda fans should keep an eye on.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to follow that.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of exciting upcoming Nintendo games, Nintendo held an event today showing off some of their upcoming RPGs. And, we've known for a while now that this was kind of looking like the big year of JRPGs. 2016 is going to be massive for JRPGs, not just on Nintendo systems, but on other systems as well. But they were showing off more about Fire Emblem Fates, which, of course, is a strategy RPG. And they have revealed that alongside the game on February 19th, there is going to be a special edition new 3DS XL featuring, of course, artwork from that game on it.
Yeah, it's really classy looking. Like the top side is white, I think, and the bottom side is black, or maybe I got those reversed, with some very kind of, more subtle artwork. You have to take a look at it to see the details.
The game is not included with that, unfortunately. But, if you're a big fan, you probably wanted to get the special edition anyway. It does sort of play into what I was talking about last week, though, how it really seems like with the new 3DS XL, that is the one they are targeting, the older, more mature fans.
Yeah, yeah. And that certainly fits the group that they're going to target with this new game.
Mm-hmm. And then we got an official release date for Bravely Second Endlayer. Comes out on April 15th. And there will also be a collector's edition of that. It will include a 10-song soundtrack and a 250-page art book.
Wow. That's really smart. I mean, if any type of game really deserves a collector's edition, it's RPGs. Because, people spend so many, hundreds of hours potentially with these games and in these worlds. And there's so much work and production that goes into every little corner of these worlds. That it's just a waste almost not to have these art books and not to have, to be able to get a better, sampling of the soundtracks and things like that. All the hard work that goes into these games. And it's great to see that that it's coming out because the players certainly want this. And it's just leaving money on the table if you don't put that kind of stuff out.
And I'm a big sucker for it almost every time.
Yeah, I already pre-ordered the Fire Emblem Fates kind of 3-pack. And even though I was only, I guess, a somewhat casual Xenoblade fan, I was tempted and did buy the special collector's edition for that. So smart moves. And I've been loving them. So it's great all around. Everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to the special edition, there's also going to be a demo version of the game that will come out, sometime before the actual game release. It's going to have a unique scenario, and when you play through it, you'll get to do street passes. Those will carry over to the main game. You'll unlock bonuses. They'll carry over to the main game. So that'll be a real good excuse to play through this demo while you're waiting for the full game to come out. I admit, I kind of fell prey to that with the first one. And, I played that demo. I really liked the demo. It really sold me on the game. But then I was like, so intent on trying to unlock everything, it prevented me from actually starting the first full Bravely Default. So I'm going to try to not let that happen this time.
Yeah. I think I read that this demo is like a 10-hour demo.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just 10 hours to, kind of play straight through, or if there's, you could milk 10 hours out of it potentially if you do other, side things. But that's pretty crazy. I mean, we could beat Metal Gear Solid back in the day in 8 hours, easy.
Yeah,
and
this is true.
This is like a whole full game for just free. And but like we said, these RPGs are so big and so long that 10 hours is still just the tip of the iceberg if you want to get the full, the full story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm afraid of spending 10 hours just on a demo when I got so many other RPGs and other games to play. But hey, it's pretty cool they're doing it. I'd like to have the time.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It'll be a really cool experiment, to give away so much, for free. And I'll be really eager to see, as I'm sure Nintendo will be, to see, how it does.
Mm-hmm. And some other stuff going on in Nintendo news. Nintendo President Tatsumi Kimishima, he went to a Japanese publication, I believe, and was talking all about Nintendo's plans for 2016. And as it turns out, there really weren't any surprises in there. It was kind of stuff that everybody already knew about.
Yeah, he just kind of gave the general outline, kind of repeating a lot of the things he'd said before, but maybe saying that, framing them a little bit differently. And so for people that have been really following closely, it's no big shockers. But it was interesting to see some of this stuff, reiterated. Because sometimes...
But he was kind of saying, we're going to be getting details on the NX later this year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be seeing mobile games later this year. And there will be actual games featuring Nintendo's more popular characters, not just Mii's coming. Also reiterated, that they're going to be doing more with licensing. That's what sort of, is prompting our big topic this week, because he was saying, there's going to be, characters licensed out to movies and anime. And of course, we already know about, there's plans for, theme parks and the smartphones, as I already said. Was there anything else that caught your eye in that report?
Well, I mean, in talking about, I guess in talking specifically about smartphones, he talked about how they're going to be experimenting with new business models. I wonder if that also is kind of a nod toward, you know, what they're looking at doing on the NX with, you know, the Nintendo account and My Nintendo. Because it seems like they've been tossing around a lot of new ideas around those as well. But yeah, I think that about covers it. He did mention that the overall plan is to bring profits to 100 billion yen, which would be just under about $900 million here in the U.S. in, quote, several years. So, you know, he's kind of laid out the plan here. It's going to get back to what they like to refer to as Nintendo-like profits, you know, big profits like they had back in the heyday of the Wii. And it seems like they got enough going on here to do it. I mean, even if the NX, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to trump all the other consoles currently out there. As long as they just build a steady business on it, a lot of these other new initiatives and revenue streams they're building looks like they might really add up to making it a Nintendo world all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we've talked about, they certainly seem like they've been on the right track recently. And if they're able to meet those goals, you know, that's awesome. More power to them. And it means that they're going to be making great games and stuff that people love if that is achieved. So, yeah. That you know, sounds promising.
Yeah, as a Nintendo fan, I just love seeing them active and aggressive and trying lots of things. And it's just going to make for a really interesting year. And we're going to get some cool stuff out of it for sure.
Yeah, and I definitely like the idea of, you know, putting their characters and brands out there in a variety of ways. That's you know, definitely, you know, interesting to me. Something that you know, younger Hoff would really have been excited about. I mean, older Hoff is as well. But yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with all that stuff.
I mean, when you're sitting there and you're just enjoying the games, you don't tend to think about that stuff as much, but you know, as much as you can still find Mario pajamas and lunchboxes and stuff out there, it's all these other new ways that you know, Nintendo can connect with whole new generations of their audience and potential audience that could maybe lure some people in from, you know, smartphones or, you know, other places where maybe the faces of Nintendo's flagship characters haven't been as predominant in years past.
So in other Nintendo news, or rather third-party news on Nintendo systems, Minecraft Story Mode is coming to Wii U this week. And that's kind of a big deal because Telltale has been away from the Wii U and for all Nintendo systems, for that matter, for quite a while. You know, they did Monkey Island and they did Strong Bad on Wii. You know, they were supposed to do Puzzle Agent. I actually went to their headquarters and saw Puzzle Agent for Wii, and we talked about it, and we ran a nice little feature on it in Nintendo Power, and then the game got canceled. And then it seemed like, okay, they're kind of done with Nintendo from here on out. But no, Minecraft Story Mode is coming, and you know, maybe that could mean other cool stuff is coming down the road.
Yeah, hopefully. Man, the Minecraft games really just kind of pop up on Wii U, don't they?
Yeah, it seems like. I mean, I understand why they're doing that one. Obviously, it's, you know, cuter and more kid-friendly, more family-friendly. It's not exactly The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones. But, hey, it's better than nothing. And, you know, hopefully it opens the door for more stuff down the road.
We'll take whatever we can get.
Well, will you want to take the new game that Konami announced a week or so ago?
I don't think I'm aware of this game.
Well, get ready, sit down, put your pants on tight, because Konami has announced a brand new Yu-Gi-Oh! Game for 3DS.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's untitled so far. It's coming out this summer, and I really could not care less.
I'll be honest with you, no disrespect to Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans out there, but I had no idea Yu-Gi-Oh! Was still a thing.
I didn't either. I mean, I thought Konami was done with everything. You know, they've killed off pretty much every brand I ever cared about and kicked every developer in the face that I loved. And now I find out, oh, there is a new Yu-Gi-Oh! Game coming for 3DS. And as far as I'm concerned, Konami can go eat a turd burger covered in turd souffle.
Oh, Konami. Well, you know, like I said, if you're a Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan, I'm happy for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans. I'm happy that the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans don't have to necessarily just go play Yu-Gi-Oh! Pachinko to have some kind of interaction with their favorite franchise. So good for them. Good for them. I just wish Konami had a little something left for me.
Yes, indeed. On the other hand, Marvelous has announced a new Story of Seasons game. Of course, Story of Seasons is the series that used to be Harvest Moon, but is now Story of Seasons here in North America. The subtitle is Good Friends of Three Villages. It's called that because there are three villages, a Japanese village, a Western village, and a tropical village. And I guess you can choose to live in whichever one you want. There's no word if it's coming out in North America yet, but I would not be surprised at all. So that is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems like I did this last week. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about our 2016 preview, talked about all these great games. Then last week, I'm like, oh, wait, here's something else I forgot about. I need to mention this too. So again, very briefly, another game I forgot about, Zero Time Dilemma, which is the sequel to 999 and Virtue's Last Reward, is supposed to be out this summer, which is, you know, a puzzle-oriented, you know, visual novel, you could call it. And if, you know, the previous stories are anything to go by, this one should be, you know, very, very interesting, very intriguing, full of mystery and surprises. And then the other game that I'm really looking forward to is Ace Attorney 6. I believe that is on tap for Japan this year. I think they've confirmed it's coming out to the West. I don't know if they've confirmed when, so that might not make it out this year. Next year would not surprise me at all. But you know, if it comes out in Japan this year, that will get me pretty excited already anyway.
How did a new Ace Attorney game slip your mind? You're like the world's biggest Ace Attorney fan.
Well, like I said, because it's not exactly on the schedule yet.
Ah.
And I'm not sure it's coming out this year in the United States. I'm not even 100% positive it'll really make it this year in Japan, although that is the impression I'm under. But yeah, I mean, both of those games I'm super, super looking forward to. But I guess without, you know, strong release dates, that's kind of... I was able to overlook them, unfortunately. So that's why I'm correcting it right here, right now. Mark it on your calendar.
At least you realized your mistake.
Yes. But speaking of great games you can play right now, Metroid Zero Mission finally hit Virtual Console. You know, that's another one I was complaining about a couple weeks ago. Why isn't this on Virtual Console yet? And lo and behold, it finally appeared like a year and a half after Japan got it and almost a year after Europe got it. Here it is. It is on Wii U Virtual Console. Go get it right now if you haven't already.
It's my favorite Metroid game, and I say that with full respect to both Metroid Prime and Super Metroid. But I do, if I had to pick, I would pick 2D Metroid, and I feel that, like, it's pretty much got everything that Super Metroid had, plus a little bit more. So you absolutely should check it out if you've ever enjoyed any Metroid game.
It's a really, really, really good game. I still think that Super Metroid is my favorite, but I'm really enjoying Zero Mission. I you know, sat down and played a whole bunch right when it came out. I mean, on Virtual Console last week. I also played through, you know, the original when it first came out. But yeah, I grabbed it as soon as I could and started playing through it. And one of the things that I really like about this game, I would probably say it's my favorite Game Boy Advance game, to be honest.
Wow.
Even if it's not my favorite Metroid game, but probably my favorite Game Boy Advance game.
That's maybe pretty high praise, because there's a lot of good Game Boy Advance games. And that means you're putting it ahead of every single Castlevania game that came out on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I might be. I might be. But what I really like about it, I was starting to say, is that, you know, I think when they made this game, the developers kind of noticed that people, you know, online were trying to, like, sequence break Super Metroid and were doing all this weird stuff with glitches. And they made it a lot easier to do things out of the recommended order. So on this playthrough, I actually you know, went down to Ridley's area and defeated Ridley before I went to Kraid's area. And it requires you to do stuff in different ways and try to get really creative. I don't have the speed boost, so I thought I was trapped for a long time until I finally found out this one little spot where you have to shoot with a missile to get out. And yeah, it caused quite a bit of trouble for myself. But I like the fact that they let you do it, and that you just can kind of play this game the way you want to play it. And of course, it's got all the other, you know, great things you have about Metroid: the atmosphere, the music, the power-ups, the collecting, the non-linearity.
It's technically a remake of the, or not a remake, but I guess a reimagining of the original NES Metroid game.
I'd call it a remake, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same story. I mean, you know, you wouldn't,
It's sort of the same map, the same layout, the same progression. There's a lot that they added to it as well. There are also new areas and, got a complete, visual overhaul. It is absolutely a remake of the original.
New enemies and bosses, I think.
Uh-huh, yeah. And then, of course, there's that whole section at the end. After you destroy Mother Brain and you escape, you get shot down, and you have to play a whole nother segment.
Spoilers, man,
that.
Spoilers. Just in case anyone hasn't played this really old game.
No, I'm not telling them what happens there.
It is a nice twist, especially for people familiar with the original NES title.
But it is absolutely an awesome game. It's excellent. And like I said, go get it right now.
Now.
And pretty soon, there'll be something else to go out and get. On Friday, Mario and Luigi Paper Jam will be out here in North America. Finally catching up to everybody else in Japan and Europe that already has access to it.
Really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the series' kind of trademark humor. I'm sure the Treehouse has put in a lot of funny new gags, and I'm super looking forward to seeing how this one incorporates Paper Mario. That still seems like at the same time, it's a very natural kind of combination. It seems like it would be a weird mix to kind of reconcile. So I haven't looked too deeply into this game yet, and I've never got a chance to try it out. So I'm going to have a lot to experience on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully we'll be giving our impressions on this one next week. But alongside that, there are the new Animal Crossing amiibo coming out on Friday, as well as Lucas from the Smash Brothers amiibo series.
Yep, that's a lot to look forward to, too.
And speaking of our favorite topic, amiibo.
Amiibo!
Both Ryu and Famicom Rob went up for a pre-order on Best Buy today. So if you're looking for those, you can get on there and grab them.
Yeah, I took a chance and didn't pre-order on Best Buy. I feel like Ryu will be pretty widely available, or at least on day one. I don't know. Don't take my word for it. But I feel like the third-party characters have
It seems pretty likely, yeah. Most of the third-party characters have been fairly easy to get. Sonic and Mega Man were a little rough at times, but distribution has improved dramatically since then. So I think it's a good chance that you'll be able to get a Ryu without too much trouble. I put up a pre-order, but I might always cancel it later.
Well, it never hurts.
Of course, the other character coming out on the same day is Roy from Fire Emblem, but we are under the impression that is a GameStop exclusive. So we'll see how that one goes. You know, he's a Fire Emblem character, which means it'll probably be really, really hard to get.
Then again, the GameStop exclusives have been in plentiful supply for a while now.
Well, I mean, NES was a flaming disaster.
Yeah, but that's going way back. I mean, if you look at the...
all the ones since then have been much easier to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I guess we'll have to see when that one goes up and grab it at that time. I think a pre-order went up from Amazon in Germany. So if you really, really need to get a Roy and don't want to be panicking later, you can always do it that way. I think that wraps us up for the news. So let's take a little break. And when we come back, we will talk about, for lack of a better phrase, Nintendo going Hollywood. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss our big topic, Nintendo IP in TV and movies, Nintendo going Hollywood. And like I said earlier, we are bringing this up because the Nintendo president has reiterated that is something that they are interested in doing, really bringing their brands out to a mass audience through this time of project and product. And so we thought, hey, what could they do with some of their top brands? What would be the best way to approach it? And just kind of start thinking about that a little bit, trying to decide, what we would like to see, and I thought it might make for a good discussion right here. So maybe we should kick it off with, Nintendo's, biggest property, Mario, or Super Mario. What would you say? What would you like to see them do with Mario?
Mario's kind of
called him Mario.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Come on, you're like someone's dad in the 80s. I think this is a tough one for me because I've always thought that, Mario is my favorite franchise. I mean, Zelda's a close second, but I love Mario. I'd love to see more and more Mario everything. But I wonder, can you tell a whole story? Can you do like a half-hour TV show or a full-length film with Mario kind of going, yippee, I'm a Mario, ha, and all that? I mean, I feel like those voices and those samples are kind of designed for little quick bits, and you never really see him kind of sit down and have a conversation because, I don't know, I feel like there's a danger it could become kind of annoying. And obviously, they approached Mario and his voice and everything a little bit differently back in the old, the Saturday morning cartoon, the Super Show. And then, of course, there was the disastrous live-action movie. So, we've kind of seen how it can go wrong. I could very easily see the Mushroom Kingdom kind of brought to life, especially in like full-on Pixar-style kind of CG animation. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot you could do there that would be cool. I guess I just can't, I'm not as creative as the folks I'm sure that would eventually work on this stuff for real. So I don't know exactly how you would have to tweak it to make it really work. What do you think?
Well, one thing I think that we can totally agree on is that CG animation would totally be the best vehicle for them to use for making some sort of, Mario property. Yeah, we've seen the live action thing. Don't ever want to see that again. Please, no. but yeah, how do you turn that into something that's on a larger scale? Because, when I think of Mario, like you were saying, he's not exactly, super talkative. And in a lot of ways, it kind of reminds me of like, old Mickey Mouse. He's kind of just pantomiming and gesturing, obviously, they even have these similar white gloves. And that makes me think, it might be, best for some sort of short form thing, kind of like the Pixar shorts that they show before the real movie. It would make more sense that way. But,
or like the Pikmin shorts that Mr. Miyamoto himself directed that you could download on Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of physical comedy, not very much dialogue.
But I would like to believe that there is a way to bring that into some sort of a longer form movie. Like I just said, comparing to Mickey Mouse, even though that's what Mickey used to do, they've done longer form stuff with him, and I think they managed to make it work. Not that anything immediately comes to mind, but I think there is potential there, and in the hands of the right people, I think it could work. I mean, for it to work, Mario wouldn't just have, he wouldn't be doing the same old stuff over and over again. It wouldn't just be those little voice clips. I think he'd really have to, they have to find an actual voice form. I don't think he could just be pantomiming for 90 minutes. And that is kind of a scary proposition.
Yeah, but I can't imagine anyone else but, Charles Matinet, or I'm probably mispronouncing his name, doing the voice for Mario. But yet you'd probably want to explore with him how he might be able to do it a little bit differently for something like this.
Yeah, I think there is potential there, but I don't really have any super specific ideas. Just that something that's nice, beautiful, CG, fully realized, Mushroom Kingdom, and all the other characters there, and maybe just the supporting characters that really bring this place to life. Maybe that's how you are able to capitalize on what Mario is all about. But, without making him have a ton of dialogue. I mean, would it work better if it's Luigi? Is that okay? Or would that be equally weird? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they run into the same issue. But I'll tell you what, I would be interested to see them do something that was just, almost like a physical comedy. Like get your action in. I mean, I could certainly see, sitting in an audience and cheering when like, oh, there's our first look at, CG Yoshi. And, here's all these other little cameos from characters that we care about from Mario's whole history of games.
Mm-hmm.
I also think you have to come up with what's the story that necessitated, a movie to tell it. Because, You know, famously, Nintendo games are really rooted in gameplay and not cinematics. I mean, you see the Ratchet and Clank movie that's about to come out from Sony. It's easy to imagine what a Ratchet and Clank movie should have been because there are so many cinematics in the games already. You just it's like 1 2-hour long cinematic. But you know, when you build a game around gameplay and then kind of add characters and visuals and a very light kind of story to hold it all together, you know, almost after the fact, then you're really kind of having to deconstruct it potentially and reverse engineer it to get it to work in another form of media. So yeah, I think Mario would require some of that work, but I'm hopeful that they could do a good job. And let's face it, Nintendo knows, you know, what, you know, went wrong with the old, you know, live action movie. They're not going to do that again. I think they're going to be very hesitant, especially with Mario, their flagship character, to go into anything they don't feel very, very confident about.
And yeah, I think the key is just, you know, staying true to the character, which of course it did not do back then.
And it might be worth noting that Wreck-It Ralph 2, which is in production, has long been rumored to include Mario in a significant kind of supporting role. So that could be a great, you know, test. Maybe that's where we'll see him first. And if they figure out how to do a great cinematic version of that character, maybe that's the stepping stone to a full, you know, feature film for Mario.
Yeah, that has certainly crossed my mind. You know, one game that I think would lend itself very naturally to, you know, CG animation, some sort of movie, you know, Luigi's Mansion. That would work pretty darn well. I mean, it's already got a lot of that comedy, a lot of those gags in there. And, you know, it has sort of a natural story that works, you know, maybe better than some of the traditional Mario stuff does. I think that could be fun and entertaining.
Yeah, and that game is kind of rooted in cinema in a way, because when I think of Luigi's Mansion and I think of what the possible inspirations could have been, I think of you know, some of those old you know, Disney cartoons, like the spooky Halloween stuff with the ghosts, which has a lot of you know, old school kind of physical comedy without a lot of dialogue. I also think about what's that old this is going to be a really old reference, but the old one with Don Knotts, the ghost movie.
Sorry, I got no idea.
Anyway, it's that old school, and I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Miyamoto and some folks at Nintendo were familiar with that kind of stuff, and maybe if some of that had informed those games. So yeah, you know, I mean, I think you'd still have some of those same problems we identified with a mainline Mario movie, but you know, maybe having that extra kind of a thematic setting on top of it, you know, helps, you know, give the story a boost, helps kind of get it going on its way.
Now, along those same lines, we have another big major Nintendo character, and that is Donkey Kong. And, you know, I say it's similar because, you know, it doesn't, you know, have a character that's known for being particularly verbose. You know, it's more about the action and the gestures and the attitude. And I think they would face a lot of those same challenges with Donkey Kong that they would adapting the Mario series.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they did an old Donkey Kong Saturday morning cartoon. If I remember correctly, Donkey Kong just said his name, Donkey Kong. Maybe that makes him the first Pokemon in a weird way. But he would like throw barrels and say Donkey Kong and run away. And I can't remember much about the cartoon other than that. But
do you remember the CG Donkey Kong Country animation?
Vaguely.
It was really, really bad. If you want to see something truly horrible, look up Legend of the Crystal Coconuts online. And I warn you, this is not for the suicidal. This will push you straight over the edge. It is one of the worst, you know, things you can ever see with your beloved Nintendo characters. It's awful. So yeah, don't do that. Nintendo cannot do that. God, the voices. Donkey Kong's voice sounds like Sonic the Hedgehog. It's
You're really selling it. Maybe if they figure out the formula to a great full length feature film for Mario, then maybe Donkey Kong is the little snack sized movie they show right.
Well, maybe putting them together is the way to do it. You know, I could see, you know, that, you know, having these two rivals have to work together could be, you know, very you know, interesting for the plot.
Yeah, and then there's two brand names and beloved characters that people are familiar with.
It's not as if Mario versus Donkey Kong isn't a thing.
Yeah, Mario versus Donkey Kong. Maybe the movie covers the whole kind of extended origin of Mario, where maybe it begins where he's just a carpenter and Donkey Kong steals Pauline. And it,
well, if they do that, I think it has to be live action.
Then Mario chases him into the Mushroom Kingdom and meets Bowser. Yeah, maybe that's how they should do Donkey Kong. Just a bunch of people in really terrible ape suits.
I think Wario, though, would actually be fairly easy to do. I think you could turn that into a good 2D animated series, or maybe it could be a CG. But, he's sort of gross and, has all kinds of, gaseous-based humor. And he's always out to, pull another heist or another caper. And I think that could lend itself really easily to a show.
I don't know if I'd want my young kid watching a Wario show. Maybe if it was maybe it was one of those subversive cartoons that was really for an older audience, like those old Ren and Stimpy shows.
I mean, I think that's kind of what I was thinking of.
Or you know what? Maybe even in a SpongeBob SquarePants vein, you can see something like a Wario. Just something that, has some just really absurd kind of off-the-wall humor.
Yeah, I think that could work. And of course, there is that nice cast of WarioWare characters they could bring in. So I think there's a lot of potential there, actually.
Oh, maybe you're right. And you could do a whole WarioWare
And I have no problem with Wario talking either.
You could do a whole WarioWare kind of approach to a show where instead of micro games, you're getting micro stories where they just kind of throw just crazy, absurd stuff at you that could be anywhere from 10 minutes to 5 minutes. Maybe like a Robot Chicken or something, but, tied together by the WarioWare kind of cast of characters.
I could certainly see that being a thing. If not the entire series, I could see that being, a couple episodes where, Wario's like, I've got a TV station now. Here's my shows. I'm going to be the star.
Exactly.
He's going on these silly adventures where he's the hero of everything.
Not to get too off subject, but maybe Nintendo should just have a whole YouTube channel hosted by Wario and just the weirdest, most craziest Nintendo-related videos that they get sent go up on it.
I don't know. I would like to see him have, if they can get Groose to co-host, then I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, get Groose in there.
Okay, so moving to a little bit of a different genre, what would we do with Metroid?
Well, I think Metroid is possibly the most cinematic, and in a certain respects is the easiest sell. I mean, it's sci-fi. It's got great iconic characters, but here's the thing: I don't want a Metroid where it's a lot of Samus talking to members of the Federation Force, and blah blah blah, this and that. My dream Metroid.
Well, it is a movie. There would have to be dialogue, I think.
Yeah, but I wonder if it couldn't be something along.
I mean, that's what you're thinking of, right? You are thinking of a movie.
Yeah, sorry, I'm thinking for Metroid. I mean, I think, honestly, CG animation would work for any of these things. But I think Metroid could be done well in live action.
I think it could actually be a big, blockbuster Hollywood production.
Yeah, there's been some live action.
As much potential as anything else.
There's been some live action commercials for certain Metroid games in the past that actually looked pretty good. But
And there were rumors years ago about it being a John Woo movie.
Oh, wow, yeah. I forgot about that.
Anyway, sorry, I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
Well, I think it can be light on dialogue in the way that that you get sometimes with even in big budget action films, like there were parts, long stretches of The Martian, that was just Matt Damon, and on Mars by himself with no one to talk to.
I heard it was a hilarious musical comedy.
It did win the Golden Globe for best comedy. So I guess however you get your Golden Globe. But and also there were old, Man versus Nature type action films like, this is a weird one to just pop into my head, but Stallone's Cliffhanger movie. I mean, I think you could have movies where the storytelling, like for example, on the planet Zeebes, I could see a lot of it being done, the storytelling done not through her talking to other people, but through her discovering relics and having flashbacks to her past, remembering how the tragedy that befell her family at the hands of Ridley and how she, came to be raised by the Chozo and so you could be having some flashbacks at the same time she's kind of working her way, on like this bounty mission or something toward Ridley.
Well, I definitely like that idea. I do like the idea of, it's her, going in there, against the Metroid threat, against Mother Brain, but also having flashbacks to, tell her origin story, so to speak. Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah. And just make it a spectacle. But still, no matter, even if you do end up with a lot more dialogue, you have to strike that tone, that kind of eerie kind of, you know, you're in a strange foreign place. And, you know, the original games captured the sense of that so well, which is so strange because it was, you know, they were very limited with what they could do, you know, with the sound of the music. They obviously couldn't put, you know, a ton of characters on screen or have, you know, big grandiose stories. But they kind of, you know, worked around all those limitations and kind of made them a virtue by creating this really unique kind of atmosphere and tone. And as long as the movie can find a way to strike that, I think it would be, you know, it could be really, really great.
For me, I think the most important thing would be to, you know, cast and write the proper Samus. That's the thing that Other M got really, really wrong. And that's the thing they would need to get right to make this actually be a good movie and to be a success. You know, she would need to be, you know, pretty badass. You know, maybe, you know, a little bit of vulnerability, you know, but I'm kind of thinking of someone, you know, like Black Widow from the Marvel movies, who comes across as, you know, severely badass.
Well, and, you know, I guess she would share something similar with Black Widow in that, you know, she has kind of been forged, you know, in the fire, so to speak. And she is a badass and she's you know, this amazing warrior. But at the same time, she, you know, she has this tragic past, just like the Black Widow does. And it kind of, you know, there's something inside of her that's like you said, vulnerable and still affected by that. So I think, yeah, you could definitely play both sides of that character. But like you said, you know, Other M, she was just too passive, ultimately. I mean, you could...
Well, she's too passive. She's always talking about the baby and just wanted to, you know, gag.
But to me, that was the biggest thing that didn't seem right for a character. For a character that we as players are used to, you know, diving into action, you know, and making bold kind of, you know, choices. She just seemed very along for the ride and mm-hmm. willing to just, you know, do what she was told. So, you know, I'm sure Nintendo has heard those critiques and you know, I would love to see, you know, Samus more fully realized, you know, if they gave, you know, a kind of a story focused Metroid, either in a game or in a film, you know, another shot.
Mm-hmm. But I would be totally fine with them having, you know, other, you know, space marines or other bounty hunters, maybe, or you know, her, you know, ex-commanding officer, Adam, because you know there would need to be someone for the Metroids to eat. So you know,
yeah, they could have a place. There. And you know, you mm-hmm. can look at the movie Aliens, the second one, which I believe was inspiration, at least to some degree, for Metroid. You know, you had you know, Ridley, and then the movie had Ripley. You had you know, the aliens themselves, which is reminiscence of maybe the space pirates. So, yeah, you could look at how they use the Marines and things like that and maybe take some cues from them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what about The Legend of Zelda?
I would take a chance on live action with this one. I mean, we heard the rumor a long time ago now that was it Netflix that was supposed to have been in talks with Nintendo about doing a live-action Zelda series?
Yeah, that
series.
Was the rumor, which I think they shot down, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't in talks with, you know, somebody else, or there aren't, you know, some plans in the works for that.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't want to see them try to make it into, like, a more family-oriented version of Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, which would be maybe the trendy thing to do right now, but...
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you see a lot of shows that are coming on TV right now. There's one on MTV. I'm going to mispronounce the name, but it's something like the Shannara Chronicles. There's a lot of stuff kind of being based on young adult novels where you're trying to get that kind of medieval, you know, swords and sorcery kind of tone. But it all seems to be taking its cues visually and stylistically from Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones was sort of similar to Lord of the Rings in the first place in how they presented that kind of world to a broad audience. So... You know, I don't want to see muscular, you know, more typical Western hero version of Link, you know, doing a more westernized version of swords and sorcery. I just would like to see something that really captures the spirit of the Zelda series, which to me really harkens back to kind of the legend of what inspired Miyamoto to make The Legend of Zelda in the first place, which was the time he spent just as a young boy exploring caves near his home. So, you know, that kind of spirit I thought really permeated the games, and I'd love to see that continue in the show. More of a, more of a colorful, youthful take on that type of genre than something that is, you know, just hacking orcs to death.
Well, I'd certainly like to see it, you know, carve its own niche, no pun intended. You know, there are so many unique visual cues that that series has that, you know, I totally want it to run with those and not do something that's, you know, more Western, you know, borrowing from, you know, these popular series, like you were saying. But I don't want it to, you know, skew too young either, on the other hand. You know, if this is, you know, something, you know, with, you know, like a kid version of Link, I think it would be, you know, pretty much impossible to do in live action. I think you'd have to go with a late teen Link or a young adult Link. I feel like, you know, that's pretty much the only way this would work with live action. Because, you know, seeing a little kid running around there and, you know, doing all this stuff would be, I think, a little weird. It works fine in the game, but I think it would work a lot less well in a movie or a serialized TV show. Kind of a serialized TV show is what I think would work for this. A movie would be fine too, but you know, I'd like to see something take a long form and you know, play out as a, you know, a TV series, you know, 12 or 13 or 24 episodes or whatever, and really be able to, you know, get into the Zelda spirit and, you know, show us going to all these different places and, you know, visiting all the temples or dungeons or whatever that you couldn't really do in a movie.
You know what they could do too is similar to the games. You could have a whole season, like 13 episodes or whatever, that's just one long story. And then that story comes to a close. And then almost like they do on certain anthology shows, like, you know, American Horror Story or something, where, you know, every season is a different story, a different location, a different cast of characters. Although they do use the same actors, come to think of it. But you could come back, you know, for season two and it's a new Link and a new Zelda, and you just run the whole, you know, reincarnation kind of vibe, you know, especially if you had trouble getting the actors from the previous season to come back.
Or maybe it's just a second quest.
There you go.
I think another way that they could go, and, you know, I'm saying this after seeing, you know, those art mock-ups a few weeks ago, and that is, you know, doing an anime version of Zelda and just, you know, stealing that Studio Ghibli style. You know, that's something I really, really want to see, you know, after getting those teases with those fake posters.
A Studio Ghibli Zelda is, there's no other way to imagine a more perfect kind of, you know, Zelda story being shown to people. I mean, that really would, especially for those early NES Zelda games, if you go back and look at the early art style, and you just think about, again, the kind of tone of those games, the spirit of wonder, the kind of youthful innocence. Man, it's just knowing that Studio Ghibli Zelda could have been a thing that people could have actually made in this world at some point, but didn't, is hard for me to get past.
Yeah, just thinking of the way that they approached, you know, storytelling, and, you know, sort of the themes that they used. And, you know, a lot of times they had characters with, you know, minimalist dialogue. It does seem like a natural fit for that that series. So, you know, maybe someone could pick up the reins and try to take that approach. You know, obviously, you know, following in Ghibli's footsteps is a very, very hard thing to do. But it would be cool. It would be really cool to see.
Yeah, it would be.
So what about some of Nintendo's other brands? What should they do?
Well, I had a thought, and of course, you know, this isn't one of the more likelier ones, I think, to pop up. But I thought, you know, I could see an Earthbound movie.
Earthbound?
Yeah. And I think it could be live action. I tend to, you know, because my impression of that world is just so cartoony and colorful and vibrant, I tend to think of it as more of a Pixar-style animation. But you think about you think about Spielberg style action movies like E.T. or Goonies, you know, which he produced, or Super 8, which you know, was from J.J. Abrams, but it was very much in the Spielberg mold. That kind of
that'd be weird.
Well, again, it could be CG, but the story being kind of a kid, I think in all those situations, the kid kind of discovers something a bit supernatural, you know, has a grand adventure, but it was still very much with a useful kind of, take and tone on the story. I think there's, I can't qualify it any more than just saying it's kind of Spielbergian, but I think you take something like that.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about the game. So yeah, I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. I think you take that and you run it up for the Pixar flagpole and you've got something really special.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it just, traditional 2D art as well. I mean, that's one of the things that the series is known for is, being, really a throwback artistically. So, I could see them just going the pure 2D route, even though there are those, claymation style renders of the characters that, we see a lot of too. But, 2D art might be the way to go, but CG would be fine with me. So yeah, you're saying you'll just get Spielberg to direct over at Pixar, and boom, done deal.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be amazing. It would be totally amazing.
I'm sure they just haven't thought of working together before. I could introduce them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know a guy who knows a guy.
Mm-hmm. Some other ones, really quick. I mean, Kirby has had some stuff. Animal Crossing. I mean, Kirby had a cartoon here. Animal Crossing had something, a movie you were telling me before in Japan.
Yep. F-Zero. Don't know much about it, but it came out in Japan and not over here.
F-Zero had an anime that was, I think short-lived.
Animal Crossing, I think, would be really, really hard to adapt. Maybe something for, just like the youngest kids, but it doesn't seem like there's enough that happens in the Animal Crossing world to... turned into a movie or a TV series that adults could appreciate. Maybe there's something more to it that I'm not thinking of.
I don't. But I don't by any means think Animal Crossing is just a franchise for kids. But I do think that having watched a lot of kids shows with my two young children, that that setting and those characters would really work itself well into a children's show. Where you just kind of pop in with certain familiar animals into their house every day and go around and see what the other neighbors are up to. You could teach the alphabet while you watch that stuff. So
It could be an educational show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the game is only for kids, but I don't really know how they would adapt that material into something that adults who were not inebriated could really appreciate.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, I've got one more and I don't have any great ideas for it, but I'm just going to give you like a 3 or 4 word description, and you'll realize it's the absolute best thing Nintendo could do. Smash Brothers anime. I mean, that covers it all, and especially if you got some really cool, respected kind of action anime production studio in Japan to helm it, like we've seen with some of the reveal videos for was it for Palutena and things like that had some pit fighting Link. Everybody saw that and thought, why don't they make a Smash Brothers anime?
Pit fighting.
Yeah, pit fighting.
There were those Kid Icarus shorts. I really like those. I wouldn't mind seeing that made into a full anime series.
And I really loved the Subspace Emissary mode of Smash Brothers Brawl purely because of those CG scenes. And they didn't tell the world's most coherent story. But,
no, the story was not brilliant, but it was fun nonetheless.
But you had so many great character beats where you just got to see like Peach teaming up with Princess Zelda, and then that moment when I believe Ganon's basically ready to launch some destructive power, and you see all the characters, the Nintendo heroes that have spaceships, are all flying side by side, flying toward him for battle. So many great fan dream team ups. And you'd have so much more opportunity to explore that if you had a short run miniseries of anime. That would be amazing.
Well, I think what you're talking about is the Nintendo Cinematic Universe. They have to start it out with some Mario and Donkey Kong hijinks, and then we have some live action Metroid and Zelda, and then some CG Earthbound. And some anime, it's a new F-Zero and Fire Emblem, and then somehow they would all combine together into Smash Brothers, and it would be their Avengers.
You know what? In a world where they're trying to make an Avengers franchise out of everything, I bet that's crossed some studio executive's mind.
It probably has.
Somewhere on a chart right now.
Hopefully Nintendo said no.
Somewhere on a proposal that was probably made to Nintendo, it says literally 2030. Smash Brothers movie. It all builds to that.
But who would they get to play the Duck Hunt dog? Or Mr. Game & Watch? I just don't know.
I don't know. They might have to play themselves.
Another property that I think would be great is Splatoon. You know, that one is huge. I think Splatoon now is the best selling game on Wii U in Japan. So strike while the iron is hot. Jump on board that sucker. Do a CG miniseries or a movie. Obviously it's got that conflict built right into it with the squids versus the octopi.
Yeah, the inklings versus the octolings. That's it, the octolings.
Oh, yes, my bad.
You've got that whole story they set out in the single player campaign between those two. And there's also those little hints they drop between missions, about the history.
Yeah, kind of talking about how, maybe this used to be, Earth before it was destroyed or something like that. Right?
I think what you'd have to do is you'd have to pick out specific, a specific inkling boy and girl to name and kind of build, build real characters around. I think you'd have to come up with a wholly original story, but the canvas is beautiful and it's there just ready to be used in a movie. That world and and of course just the action, it would be great to see, in full CG HD and everything, kind of them splatting each other and fighting to get to where they need to go. And you're right, nothing has been hotter on Wii U than Splatoon, and it's taken off like crazy here in the US as well, so why not.
Mm-hmm. Now I alluded to it very briefly, what would you like to see them do with Fire Emblem? There was like a really short-lived anime back in the day, probably almost 20 years ago. But I don't think they've done anything with it for a while. Or have they announced something that's slipping my mind?
I feel like there was some new manga or anime or something in the works. But if so, it's slipping my mind too. But I mean, just to, disregarding that for a moment, I think... it's easy to imagine it as more of a modern anime because, there's such an anime influence in the actual games with the character portraits and things like that. I think there's a chance it could be a good live action series, but as with Zelda, I think they'd have to be very careful to make sure that it's stayed uniquely Fire Emblem and didn't just become generic kind of fantasy.
Yeah, with Fire Emblem, I really think it would be hard for me to envision it as anything other than anime. Westernizing that just seems really wrong to me.
I'll tell you what, though.
And of course, I really, really love Awakening, so I would love to see it be based on Fire Emblem Awakening. And, especially with the whole, time travel element and, the child characters of the parents, I think that lends itself to a lot of fun stuff would work out probably a lot better in anime than it would in a live action show.
I was going to say, I've never seen a show that had anything like that. That would definitely be unique. Well, I guess that is a good point. You don't typically see time travel and things like that in your fantasy. So, that could be cool. Yeah.
Zelda could have it too, man.
That's true. I mean, if you were going to pick one story to base even just one season of a Zelda show off of, you'd think it would have to be Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, actually.
Of course, then you do have Boy Link. I guess you don't necessarily have to have Boy Link.
That is a problem.
Because when people time travel...
Yeah, they can fudge with that enough.
Yeah, when time travel is typically shown in the stories, the character who goes back in time doesn't age backwards. Usually they just stay the same.
Yeah, I mean, if it's, an older teen Link and then, he's only, moving by 7 years, that wouldn't exactly make him an old man or anything. Going from 16 to 23 or something like that would work fairly well, but they could probably make it work. Some stuff would be weird, but they can make it work.
I'll tell you what, despite any kind of concerns or hesitations I may have had about any of these, I think like most Nintendo fans, if you were to ask me what I would most like them to attempt, just because it would get me the most excited and the most intrigued, it would definitely be the Holy Trinity of Mario, Zelda, and Metroid. you know, obviously you want it to be good first and foremost, but nothing's going to get my attention and get me as excited and kind of, you know, checking daily to see what little scraps of news on these projects I can find than those three.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That and Legend of the Crystal Coconuts too.
Or a wacky Star Tropics show. We haven't mentioned pro wrestling yet. Should we mention pro wrestling?
I was going to have this be like the one episode where we don't mention pro wrestling.
Too late. Pro wrestling anime. That's what we need.
Yeah, yeah. Pro wrestling. I mean, I guess, you know, WWE does have its own films division now. So maybe they can team up with Nintendo and, you know, cast Dean Ambrose as the Amazon. That would probably be amazing.
No, keep the WWE away from it. It's license free. It's Nintendo's own brand of pro wrestling entertainment.
All right. Well, I think we have beaten this topic into the ground. So I think we're going to call it a show. But before we go, there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the somewhat obscure NES game, Circus Caper. Thrills, action, and fantasy. Circuses are always full of dreams and hope. A big circus comes to a city where Tim and his sister Judy live. However, they can afford only one ticket. Tim kindly gives it to the little girl. "Thanks, brother," Judy says. "Be sure to meet me at the exit after the show." But Judy fails to appear after the show. Mr. Magic, boss of the circus, looms in front of Tim, who is anxiously waiting. "You'd better give up on your sister," the malicious magician chuckles as he tells the boy he kidnapped Judy. "Shucks," Tim shouts. "You can't do that." Tim rushes in to rescue his sister. Wicked clowns, tightrope artists, and ferocious animals attack Tim, who fights with a yo-yo, a hammer, and a soccer ball. "Go, Tim! Beat them all and get the key to the tent where Judy is confined. Rescue her as soon as possible."
Jeez.
Yeah, that's it sounds pretty terrifying when I read it that way.
yeah, it's like a game based around child abduction.
Yeah, as if clowns and circuses weren't creepy enough already.
Jeez. Well, on that creepy note, we're going to say that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. Hoff also has a really cool blog called Still Playing With Power, and you can find it at christhehoff.tumblr.com. You can also email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, as always, we super appreciate it if you can drop by iTunes and let us know.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And our man in the field, Solid Snake.
This is Snake. I'm done here.
We will see you next time.
The tower of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey. Oh yeah, dig it.